Hello, everyone. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're back on the air. And all we do at Radio Entrepreneurs is talk to entrepreneurs. That's our game. And we are being hosted by the great law firm of Davis Mom and Pat Clendenin. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And our next guest, Gregory Cahill from Black Oak Property Advisors.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Gregory, just as a start, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, and about Black Oak?
Sure. Be happy to. Black Oak is a firm that I started approximately 2 years ago. We do commercial and industrial real estate brokerage and leasing and consulting. I started the firm after many years with larger firms around Greater Boston. So I learned the craft, and it was time to go out, and with an entrepreneurial bent to myself, it was time to go out on my own and do it. So I started in the business, frankly, during my college years. I started selling commercial real estate while I was in college. And
at Holy Cross, right?
At Holy Cross out in Worcester, Mass. Yeah. And after that, I decided I wanted to come to Boston, and I immediately got a job right out of college doing commercial sales and leasing in downtown Boston and the inner suburbs. And the rest is just history.
Are you from Worcester?
No, I actually grew up in the western suburbs of Boston.
So you didn't go far to school?
No, I never went far to school.
But he always did his homework.
Always did my homework.
So what's going on economically? Is there a shift going on?
Well, Boston is doing extraordinarily well. It's one of the healthier economic cities across the country. Unemployment is the lowest that it's been in 15 years. Here in Massachusetts, and it's well below the national average as well. It's being led really by the healthcare and educational sectors, although within that healthcare is obviously pharmaceutical and biotechnology is doing very, very well, too. A lot of it has to do with the intellectual capital that we have here in Boston. Which has attracted, you know, for instance, GE to relocate their headquarters here. Reebok has expanded greatly here. PTC, which is out in Needham, has recently announced they're going to move 1,000 employees out to the seaport.
Is there room, Greg? Is there room in the seaport still?
Well, there is room in the seaport still. Although, when you drive out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you wonder how could
well,
there
the
be
access
more room?
Roads.
How could there be more room? Actually, the seaport was it really came into its own as a result of the big dig because
right.
that created on and off ramps directly into the seaport. So it's hard to imagine, or try to imagine, what it would be like to get to the seaport without the big dig.
Or even walk there underneath the 93, the old 93 but overpass.
Exactly. You know, sometimes being last in is the best position as you get perspective on things. You know, I remember going to other cities that had large waterfront developments, and I think Boston has the perspective of looking at what's happened with a lot of other cities in terms of developing the seaport area.
Yeah, I think that's very true. You have Vertex anchoring one end, and with Reebok going out to the far end of the seaport, an area that 2 years ago would have been unimaginable to think that Reebok would go to. That has significantly opened up even more possible development in the seaport.
It was amazing. I remember going over to federal court for a client one day, and the spring, it must have been a year or so ago, and all of a sudden the Envoy Hotel was there and Vertex was there, and I hadn't realized what huge amounts of construction is really going on down there.
That's exactly right. And most of it, very little of it, has been speculative. There's been a couple of speculative buildings, but for the most part, it's been companies that have pre-committed, and the spec building, the cranes that everybody sees and thinks that there's so much going on over there, a lot of it has been high-end residential.
So much residential, so much commercial. What are the hardest things for you to stay, you know, I remember reading Todd Watson Jr. of IBM, his autobiography, and he said, you know, running IBM during its growth years was like trying to hold on to the tail of a wild horse, which I thought was great. You know, you're just trying to keep up with it. What are the things that are hard for you keeping up with in this marketplace?
Keeping your knowledge up is the perhaps the most difficult thing in deciding or choosing which publications and which websites and which blogs to follow, because we're just in this information world,
right?
And there's just so much out there and so much going on. It's a real challenge.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your office and as an entrepreneur building your office into what it is today after 2 years.
Well, frankly, Pat, it's been better than I imagined it could be. I always knew it would be a success, but we're basically a boutique firm. We work a lot on personal introductions and personal relationships, and I've had a lot of success over the years building my business in that way, and that's continued the last 2 years. People really enjoy working with entrepreneurs. People really enjoy working with people that are out every day trying to make something new and creative happen.
That's great. It's great to hear that story. And tell us a little bit about what's going on statistically with the industries and within your office. What are you focusing on in terms of the business, the representations?
Well, you know, quick overview. Boston office vacancies are now down just over 8%, and historically anything under 10% has been considered a time for speculative construction. And we haven't had a lot of speculative office construction. That being said, all the new commercial buildings over in the seaport have had the effect of creating new towers in the financial district without actually building them. And many of the towers in the financial district have some age on them, and it's very interesting. One Post Office Square just announced that they're going to completely renovate that building, and the architectural renderings for the exterior are just incredible. It's going to look like a brand new tower, and it won't be. And of course, they'll be adding 150,000 square feet of new office space there as well. And then you've got the project on Congress Street in the corner of State Street, the former Fidelity headquarters, which is really exciting. That's a combination of new office space, condominiums, and retail. And then in the suburbs, there's a lot going on in the office market in the suburbs as well. The best product is what's leasing quickest. By that, I mean in the suburbs, there's been really almost no speculative office construction for 20 or 25 years, so the buildings are functionally obsolete. So owners that are spending the money, that are in a position to spend the money, because many owners that have bought those buildings in the last 7 or 8 years bought at the height, and they're not in a position that they can afford the capital that's necessary. So the buildings that don't have the capital going into them are finding themselves wanting for tenants. So there's a lot of musical chairs going on in the suburbs for office space, because as the leases come up, the tenants are flocking to the buildings that have been heavily updated.
And so what's the decision point for a business that's historically been in the financial district of Boston, in making the move to the seaport, which to most people was the moon, 10 years ago? How do people make that decision? Obviously, there's financial components to it, but can you explain that process?
Sure. For the most part, in the macro picture, there's been maybe, for sake of conversation, 10 large firms that have moved to the seaport, and really what's driven them to go over there was the need for large blocks of space, anywhere from 150,000 square feet to 400,000 or 500,000 square feet, and to find that in a renovated financial district building was next to impossible. And companies today if they've been in their space, a space of that size in the financial district, and if they've been there for 15 or 20 years, the space needs freshening, and it's very, very difficult to do that while you're keeping your business running. So companies at some point after 15, 20, 25 years, they oftentimes look for new space. And that means all new furniture systems, telephone systems, smart wiring, those kinds of things. So they are attracted to the new buildings because they literally want to close the doors at 5 o'clock on Friday night and be up and running for business on Monday morning at 8 a.m. And the only way to do that is to move. And when you move, movers are almost out of business in Greater Boston, because with so much open landscape office and cubes, companies literally, they buy all new furniture systems. So
that's what I did.
There you go.
I left it all behind.
Because you can't move over a weekend 1,000 people effectively anymore.
You know, physical things don't have the importance that it once did.
Exactly.
You know, Greg, it's very interesting listening to you. Love to have you on again. If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Very easy. My office is at One International Place. We're on the 14th floor. And my phone number is 617-535-7773.
I love that, a man who knows his own phone number.
Yeah, you can usually tell people knowing their phone numbers by age.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp.
The millennials don't know numbers. Yeah. They never even give you numbers. You have to, like, pry it off them.
When you asked, I almost just defaulted to an email address.
I still, you know what, the only numbers and phone numbers I remember are the ones I grew up with now.
Absolutely.
You know, those are my favorite. My name is Jeffrey Davis, just showing you my memory loss. My co-host is Pat Clendenin. Thank you, Pat, for setting all this up. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks for being on the show, Greg.
Radio Entrepreneurs.
Good to be with you.